Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'll tell you, the opening theme for the show that's sweeping the country, the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the one that straws, she stirs out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, it goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, or her right now, less than me, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand the mic, the threes, Danielle. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, there is a lot to talk about today in the NFL.
I'm doing good, Mark. I hope you're doing good. I hope everybody's having a great week. Oh my gosh, there's so much to get into. Everybody can slide into the DMs on Instagram at Birth of the Fay. Let's just jump into it because I don't even know where to start. Every time I think that like we're gonna wind down and get one of those like lulls before training camp, it just all explodes all over again. So Atlanta lost their leading returner today. Avery Williams, running back, suffered a torn ACL and is probably done for the year. That was reported today from Arthur Smith, so I'm sorry to see him obviously go. That kind of sucks, especially, you know, OTAs and you lose them. I mean, it's just horrible. So I was really upset to hear about that. And then, of course, we got our Madden 24 cover, which was Josh Allen. And I found that to be a little surprising. I really thought it was going to be Jalen Hurts. I know a lot of people wanted it to be DeMar Hamlin. I thought that was, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit of a, I thought that would have just been in poor taste in a weird way if it was DeMar. I guess a lot of people thought that would like be a way to go in a blaze of glory. To me, I thought for it to be DeMar would have been, I don't know, just not the way to go. But Josh Allen, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not like he went deep into the playoffs and it was just this crazy game. I thought it should have been Jalen Hurts, personally. But, okay, Bills Mafia, don't come after me. Look, when you get a Super Bowl, then, you know, you get it. But I thought it should have been Jalen Hurts. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I can't argue with that. I thought it would have been Jalen Hurts, too. I mean, but it is what it is, and, you know, now you just go out there and prove yourself again.
Yeah, or wrap yourself in bubble wrap because we all know, you know, the Madden curse. Everybody who's been on the cover gets a season-ending injury that season. So, yeah, got to protect him, I guess, or like I said, wrap him in bubble wrap. I have no idea. So, Josh Allen, hopefully you're the one to break the curse and everything goes well for you. The other big news that for some reason is under the radar is the Isaiah Rodgers issue. It looks like he may be one of the first NFL players suspension for gambling. Apparently the Colts cornerback has been investigated and it looks like he placed hundreds of bets. Hundreds. Now,
wow.
Normally everybody knows my feelings on the hypocrisy of the NFL and their gambling policy. I think that there should be some loopholes in it. Like, look, if you're betting on, you know, NCAA games, I don't really care. But unfortunately, Rodgers, I can't defend you on this one because you bet on your own team. If you're betting on your own team and you playing, no baby doll can help you on this one, stud. You going down. He placed several bets on his own team. Whether it was for or against, I have no idea, but he was actively playing. So, kind of got a side with the NFL on this one. Yeah, that's a big old no bueno. Looks like he going down, and they are considering, like, an indefinite suspension. We'll wait to hear what the rest of the investigation shows. But, yeah, he was having a good old time betting. I wonder if it was DraftKings or not. I don't know. But, yeah, they caught him. So I don't know what you think about that, Mark, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I thought anytime you got FanDuel involved in the NFL, you knew this thing was going to come a full tilt.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've always felt. So, you know, you lay down in bed and then you, all of a sudden you don't like what's happening. Well, you brought it upon yourself. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, like I said, we've been very vocal about this whole issue with the NFL getting involved with FanDuel and DraftKings and having them sponsor it. And now a lot of these places will have physical brick and mortar stations at stadiums. Like I said, the hypocrisy is PGA LIV issue, but for them, you can't bet on your own team though. I mean, like, you know, come on guys, use your heads just a little bit here. You can't do that. Like, you know, this is one of those moments where you're kind of watching it happen going, no, seriously, dude.
It happened to Ridley. You saw what happened to Ridley. It happened to him in Atlanta. And, you know, we knew this was going to happen.
He was out. Yeah. I mean, the guy was injured. He wasn't betting on his team. Rodgers was actively playing. Like, what are you thinking? You're acting, like I said, if these guys want to place bets with the NCAA, like during March Madness, you want to get involved in the bracket, I don't think they should get in trouble for that. I don't want to hear, well, they were doing it during the training room. Like, that's BS to me. Those are semantics that, to me, the NFL, like, seriously, guys, that's just shame, shame, shame. I don't want to hear that crap.
Well, here comes a regular listener, Lance from Pensacola, Florida, says, I got no problem if they want to bet on their team. It might inspire them to really give 120%. It's lacking these days. Yeah, he brings up a great point, Lance in Pensacola. You know, if you bet on your team and getting everybody to buy in, then let's go, guys. Come on, man. They might try harder, and it could, you know, reinvent the city they're playing in. Great take by Lance. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one, Danielle.
You know what? Like I said, if you guys want to do, like, one of those pools in the locker room, just you guys, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, you can't do it with family, because then we're getting into, like, what if you're getting against team? Are you throwing it? That's the ethical conundrum. But once again, the NFL opened up the door the minute you decided to take money from FanDuel and from DraftKings. You guys did this. You can't – there's really no one else to blame. The minute Kraft and Jerry Jones put the seed money down for this stuff, which is something everybody forgets, those guys put the seed money down. And then you let them sponsor segments on NFL.com and on the NFL shows and all this stuff. So, you know, and then we got Caesars taking the Manning boys, and they're, you know, they're sitting there doing commercials. I don't know what to say, because it's like you're all in bed and it's one big cesspool. I don't know what to say. But I'm looking at Rodgers going, come on, guys. Like, if these guys are out for the season with an ACL tear and they're at home betting, I don't really have an issue with it. I'll be totally honest. I just don't. You're at home. There's nothing to do. You're betting on another team, or like I said, you're betting on a different sport. I don't have an issue with it. I don't think that they should get suspended for that crap. If you're actively in the locker room, different story, and you're betting on, you know, on football. But, yeah, this guy is – it ain't looking pretty for him to rework their gambling policy a little bit and stop with this. Well, if you're in the training room or you're in a facility and this one, that's just all – that's like drawing a borderline, like playing dodgeball and hopping over the invisible line and being like, I'm on this side. No, I'm on that side. You can't catch me. That's just – to me, it's just BS. And it's just another way for these guys to take money from the players. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just being picky on it, but, like, at some point, guys, you're making so much money off of this. Really, now you got to start, like, finding the players because they want to get March Madness? Come on. You have nothing better.
Well, and you bring up some great, you know, look at Rodgers. He's enjoying the freedom of expression he has in the Jets meeting rooms while also keeping new teammates on their toes. This is a rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers now in New York. And let me tell you, this guy is almost found the fountain of youth there. Watch out, man. I'm telling you, the Jets, this is a team that, you know, what people don't understand, and I've always said this, the minute you're bonding with somebody, in whether it's going out on a date, whether it's, you know, being part of a new team or something, communication, holding people accountable, character, integrity, camaraderie, all of those are big words that people fail to utilize on a daily basis. But I like what this guy's doing in New York, and I think the Jets, you know, are going to do some damage this year in the NFL. I mean, it's a long year. Anything can happen. Injuries are a big thing. But, you know, the Jets have rewarded Aaron Rodgers more in one, you know, offseason than I think the Packers rewarded him in all the years he was in Green Bay. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Danielle.
I'm hearing a lot of good things coming out of New York, that he's doing these little quizzes and he's actually taking the time to teach, which a lot of it, you know, was not found in Green Bay. You know, from his interview that he gave, I believe it was last week, toward the end of last week, you know, where he said what really went down was that he wasn't getting a response from upper management in Green Bay. He just wanted an honest answer. Like, he was clear that they wanted to move on from him. And he just felt like, just somebody be honest with me. Just tell me you want to move on and we can have an amicable breakup. But he wasn't getting that feeling. Like, he was being told one thing and they were acting another way. So he was finally like, okay. You know, this whole attitude of them being like, oh, I couldn't get in touch with him. He's like, what do you mean you couldn't get in touch with me? You know, like, don't rewrite the narrative. So now he's in New York, and I think he's also grown a little from this situation. And he wants to prove everybody, you know, that the diva attitude that we've all heard, maybe as much as we want to say it was well-earned, there might have been a little bit more of a backstory behind it. And he wants to show, look, if I'm treated right, I'm going to put, this is what you're going to get out of it. You know, I'm going to put my all into it. So he's treating these guys a little differently. They said he's teaching. He's actually showing the receivers. He's doing different things. So maybe that last little bit we heard about the junior receivers and how he was treating the rookies wasn't 100% true, and that there might have been some animosity, but it was more caused by upper management and not Rodgers being a diva. So let's see what happens. I think he's got a fire under him, and I think he's going to really pull the whole team. I think they're going to go deep this year. They're putting all the pieces together, and he wants to lead them. So let's see what happens. I'm all
for it. Well, I think what it is the Jets are rewarding him for what he did in Green Bay, and they know what he means to a city. And I think the Packers are just trying to say, okay, we threw Favre against the shed. We'll throw, you know, Rodgers against the shed, and we'll just go with this guy that's been carrying the clipboard for a while in Love. And it doesn't work that way. And I'm really surprised with the Packer organization. You know, with those two guys, it was a lot of years where they didn't have to worry about mediocre quarterbacks. And now they're going to be, you know, bag type of fans in the Cheesehead City, because I don't see the Packers doing anything. I look at the Packers, and if the season started today, this team looks like it's on a pace to win anywhere from 3 to 5 games. Just with what they got. They've lost the Cobbs. They've lost a lot of guys there. And, you know, you can break it down any way you want. Are they as bad as the Texans? No. Does the Texans have more potential? Yeah. But they've got bad in a hurry. And, you know, when you lose key components and everything, and You basically say, well, okay, we'll just try to get a boatload for him and everything and get draft picks and everything. It's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. And the Packers, I'll tell you right now, to get to the Super Bowl, they got to be, out of all the teams, they got to be really at the bottom of this list as far as to get to the Super Bowl and win it. There's no doubt that this team is going to be dead last in that division, probably sharing it with the Chicago Bears. I don't know what you think about that.
I think the Bears have a better shot than the Packers. Be honest.
Yeah, you might be right.
I don't think you might. I think they've been gutted. You know, the Bears have been making moves to, and they have more time with Justin Fields. Everybody's trying to hype Jordan Love up like he's the next coming, you know, of the savior. What have we really seen out of Jordan Love? I'm not saying that he won't be decent, But all he's done right now is try to backpedal on his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. There's a certain mental exhaustion in that. That's what you're spending your time doing. And now you've got that shadow.
Yeah.
Justin Fields doesn't have any of that crap to deal with. You know, he's just like, nobody's really expecting much out of me. You got nothing to lose, dude. So I think the Bears are in a much better position than the Packers.
Well,
I put money on them
over
the Packers.
Yeah, that would be a thing. I'm not a big fan of OTAs, and the reason why is the Falcons lost Avery Williams after he tore an ACL. He's pretty much gone,
yep,
and this guy was unbelievable. Kid averaged 16.2 yards per punt return, 19.6 yards last season, and coming out of Boise State, I like this guy. And now the Falcons are going to have to step it up. And, you know, they got other guys that might, be potential guys. Hughes, Alford, Penny Hart, Josh Allen.
Or this
but,
could make Dalvin Cook look real good.
Yeah. Yeah. Avery Williams is unbelievable. And I'm high on the Falcons,
as you know.
Yeah.
So
that's
going to
be
things. Because Cook
yeah.
is going to be available. You're looking for somebody to punt return, but that means that somebody else has got to move the piece around. So now you got to look and say, okay, we got Dalvin Cook coming up. We know Zeke is still out there. And I'm not saying these guys are punt returners, but that means somebody who normally did this, who normally was your regular guy, he's got to move to the punt returning spot. He's got to be a returner. And, yes, we've got the whole kick returner rule change and whatnot. But they're going to be on the lookout for somebody. So do you bring a Cook in? Do you bring a Zeke in and move one of the other guys up to this position? Now things change a little bit. So you got to wonder, you know, and this is why some of these guys wait for OTAs and they don't sign when they're released because they're waiting for injuries like this to happen. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You're waiting for an injury like this. You know, one of the
yeah.
other guys can come up and be like, well, you know, you're going to take a younger guy in that position, the one with speed, but you still need, you know, a workhorse. You still need somebody to kind of pound,
exactly.
do ground and pound.
Well,
so
the other guy that has a load of confidence, and I don't know why he does, Deshaun Watson, he settled 23 of his 25 civil lawsuits against him, but I don't understand why a guy like this is not suspended for about 3 years. I really don't, and I think it's frustrating in more ways than one. I really don't, and people can come up and say, well, you're given, you know, a lot of chances. 25 civil lawsuits against you, and you've settled on 23. You're either going to be a broke man, or there's a lot of people that are turning the other way on this after they've been abused by you. So I don't know what to say on it. It's just my opinion on it. But this guy should have been suspended at least 3 years in the NFL. And, again, the NFL takes talent over character, which in my book doesn't mean much. Danielle, any thought?
Regarding Deshaun, well, I have no idea how this even went down the way it did. I really don't. I'm confused by the whole prospect of it, but it still goes down to there's a different standard for quarterbacks and the rest of the positions, and that's just how it is. I'm sorry, but they protect quarterbacks in more ways than one, because if that was any other position, it would not have gone down that way. That's just how I see it, and everybody can come at me and say, oh, if it was this player or that player. I'm sorry. If you're a quarterback and you're talented, you're going to get away with a lot more, and there's going to be a lot more people protecting you. Because if that was a linebacker, if that was a wide receiver who was talented but not, you know, not crazy talented, this would have been a totally different circumstance. I mean, look at Calvin Ridley in the gambling situation, suspended for a year, and he wasn't playing during that time. This guy has all this crap going on, and he's still playing? It just boggles my mind on all of this. So I don't get it. And to me, Deshaun Watson, okay, he's okay. But is he that good? I mean, can you really tell me he's that good of a quarterback? I don't know. Like, right. I don't see it. I'm not throwing him in front. You know, I'm not picking him for fantasy and being like, yeah, it's going to leave my team. So,
well, on the other side of the coin, when you flip it, you know, for every bad story, there's a good one. And Bears quarterback Jalen Johnson basically says, I'm absent because I'm a dad first. And I thought that was reputable, the basically, you know, look at his kid first back home in California before anything else. You don't see too much of that. Usually it's the money over the family, but this guy basically said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to California to check on my kid. So any thought on that?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of good stories in the NFL. They don't get the time or the spotlight they deserve, but there's a lot of great guys in the NFL, and we only hear about it during the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominations, and then we hear about all the great stuff. You know, like Greg Olsen was always a really good guy in the NFL. Like there was nobody that could really speak ill of him. He was always doing amazing things. He was a good dad, you know. You always heard amazing stuff. Even locally, people still talk about him down here. You know, he always gave to the hospitals, to the children's hospitals. He still does. So there's still a lot of great stories in the NFL. Unfortunately, that's not the clickbait. You know what I mean? That's not what you hear about. Instead,
right.
You know, it's the helmet swinging. You know, it's the fights. It's things like that. It's who's packing what. Who's, you know, getting robbed at gunpoint.
How stupid
died.
Is that in Cleveland? If Cleveland hasn't felt the wrath of everything, two guys getting robbed in Cleveland, well, nothing good happens after midnight anyhow. But I don't know if it was, you know, showcasing the bling and everything and walking around, but six guys robbed two Cleveland Brown players. And they take the guy's car as well, so the jewelry wasn't good enough in the cash, so let's take the car too. How crazy and disappointing is that? I think the first thing I'm doing if I'm a part of a city and stuff, I'm really not hanging around past midnight partying, and if I am, I'm not going to be showcasing stuff I'm wearing as well. Any thought to that?
I go back to the story Ocho Cinco came out with Chad Johnson, like, recently, where he was like, everything I wore was pretty much fake. Yeah, he's like, I was frugal. He's like, everything I did, he said, supported this crazy personality. He's like, and people thought I was that way. He's like, but I wasn't. He's like, I flew coach. He's like, I did certain things to save my money. He's like, because at the end of the day, I knew this could all go away in a heartbeat. He's like, but I didn't want to be caught up in the lifestyle. He's like, so I made this crazy personality so everybody thought I was like that. And nobody would mess with me. But he's like, half my jewelry was fake. He's like, I was saving my money. I was doing things because at any point I could get injured. Or somebody could do something to me. He's like, and then this was gone. So,
yeah.
I kind of look at it like, you got to be smart about this because one injury and your career is over. I mean, we were talking about Sam Bradford last week before air. You know,
yeah.
The quarterback, very talented for the St. Louis Rams. Very talented. But he was a China doll. Every week the dude was injured. I mean, if you blew on him the wrong way, something was going to crack. Something. It was just bound to happen. It's not that he wasn't talented. He just, it wasn't sustainable for him. And so in this day and age, as much as we want to say athletics and things like that, the trainers, nutrition has all come a very long way. I mean, even PRP therapy for joints and stuff like that. You can't play as long as you think, and all it takes is one hit, and something can change. You want to be flashy, you want to live this lifestyle, that's great, but it can all go away in one game. I think they have to, somebody's not guiding them enough. From a financial standpoint and everything, our guests talked about that, a couple months ago before the Super Bowl. It's just, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're just not getting enough. And that even brings us to DeMar Hamlin. I mean, he's back on the practice field, participating in full team drills. The man went into cardiac arrest 7 months ago. I think it was just 7 months ago. I have no idea what he's doing. Like, I mean, kudos to him in one sense, but on the other, I'm like, why are you back on the field? Seriously.
Right. In the last 4 minutes, and we'll wrap it up in about a minute as far as breaking this thing down, the Jaguars have come out with a renderings of a stadium. Oh, it is. This thing looks this might give SoFi, and it might give the thing in Dallas a run for their money. This has pools and everything in it. And the only downside of this, and I talked this over with Kyle, and we'll get in, you know, when we get back on his show tonight, but I will tell you this, the problem with what I have with a Jaguar season ticket holder is you're playing like six games at home, so people can't really enjoy it because you're playing two of them in a foreign country. What are we going to play all these games pretty much in our backyard? I like the renderings. I think the Jags, you know, this is a big thing, and I can't wait to see this one when it goes up, Danielle.
It looks amazing. I mean, they haven't had an update in how long. I mean, they haven't undergone any renovation since they entered the league in 1995. So are they due for something? Yeah. I mean, the Bills broke ground this week. I feel like everybody's getting these new amazing stadiums. My question is, what does it do for the fans? Does it lower ticket prices? Are
right.
you giving me not $10, $15 Coca-Colas? I mean, what does it do for us? That's great that it's going to have a pool and a satellite campus for Florida University or whatever. Good. Are you taking care of my parking? Because it should not cost a family to go to a game $250. Like, what are you doing for ticket prices? Because all I'm seeing in these great, amazing renderings, and oh my God, it looks like something out of the Jetsons. And for anybody who doesn't know the Jetsons, don't judge me. Just seems like it's just driving up my ticket prices, and I can't go enjoy the game. And you have to be a millionaire to go, or have like a corporate connection. And I don't know. As happy as I am, and that's great, I feel like some of the fun and the joy is getting sucked out of it because it's costing us so much damn money as a fan. I don't know.
Well, and you're rightfully so. And as we wrap this thing up, and I know we have just a load of listeners, we thank you each and every week. I know next week we'll be back on the same time, same channel across these airwaves as we get ready to get this show rolling, the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, Los Angeles, my sidekick, the girl that stirs the drink in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino. Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know you're involved in quite a few things, and love to prop you up.
You can hit me up on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, and then I will be at Barnes & Noble's on Sharon Road in Charlotte, North Carolina on July 1st for an author appearance. And so if you're in that area and you want to come talk football, we'll totally talk football. We don't have to talk books. But if you want to talk books and talk about my fantasy novels, by all means, we can do that too.
Yeah, don't miss that. She's a great lady and love her dearly. You can catch me later on today out of Orlando with Kyle Nash, then followed by the Tampa show with Peter Blake. Tomorrow it's Philadelphia with Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia, where Harry Berg, Chicago handicapper, comes in on that show. And that'll be followed by Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Phoenix. For Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, yours truly again in Los Angeles, Mark Mancini, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you note it. Next week, it'll be the same time, same channel across this board. We'll see you, and it'll be a topic of new things coming through the NFL. We'll start breaking down as we get really rolling into these training camps, man. Football's just right around the corner, so it's going to be nice. We'll talk about a lot more things. Catch the archive version, if you miss it, on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in, guys, across the board. We'll touch bases with you next week. Again, same time, same channel. Good night now.